But little Lord Jesus. Ladies, take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Maybe a little hot on this one here. This past Monday, I was at the doctor's office with my mom, and while she was having a test run, I was sitting there in the office, and I noticed there's a Christmas tree over to the side there that had been decorated. Had a lot of colorful ornaments on it, and a lot of the ornaments were these glass kind of different colors, and it just radiated with the reflections of the lights on the tree and the lights in the office. It was very beautiful there. When we think of ornaments, something beautiful usually comes to mind: shiny, bright, glistening, sparkling, pretty. All are words that would describe ornaments that we may see in trees. Webster's Dictionary defines ornament as something that lends grace or beauty, a manner or a quality that adorns, or something added to heighten attractiveness. My question to you this morning is, how well do we adorn the person of Christ? How well do we adorn His body, the church? When other people see us in this world, what do they think about Jesus Christ? What do they think about Holly Hills Baptist Church? What do they think about Christianity as a whole? That's our responsibility, as you'll see in a moment. Here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament," there's our word, "the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." I've entitled the message this morning, "An Ornament for Christ." My question is that I want you to consider is, what type of an ornament are you? Father, I ask right now that you'd allow me, through your Holy Spirit's power, to be able to share clearly the things that you've laid upon my heart and that I've studied out. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at them, that we would not just see a message today and hear what is being said, but Father, I pray that we would take it to heart, that you would allow us, Lord, to be touched by your words, that you would indicate unto us what type of an ornament we may be. And Lord, I pray that if we're not that perfect ornament, that you would allow us, Lord, to surrender to your hands as the potter, to be able to mold us and to make us into the ornament that you would have us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 4 that I read there starts out with the word "but." That word, if you take those letters there, B-U-T, remember it this way, back up there, but refers to and makes you think about what came earlier. And if you look up to verse 1, it says, "Likewise, ye wives." Well, likewise is the same type of a word there. you have to see in what wise is it considered like. And so we've got to back up further. So you actually have to back up in chapter 2 in verse 11 and 12. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." And by the way, that's exactly what we are as believers in this world. As the song says, "This world is not my home. I'm just traveling through. I'm just passing through." Abraham was viewed as living in tents, for he looked for a city whose foundations did not have anything to do with this world. But we do as well. We have in our relationship with the Lord as our Savior, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you in heaven there." Our citizenship, our dwelling place, ultimately in position is in heaven. So we're no longer considered of this world, but we are strangers to it. We are pilgrims here, just traveling through, representing our foreign sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And it goes on continuing in verse 12, "having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles." Now the word conversation is not talking about what we speak about, but the word there has to do more of, and it's more than just citizenship, but it's your conduct, your behavior representing our citizenship of heaven. And so he says there, "having your conversation, your behavior as a Christian, honest among the Gentiles," those that are lost, "that for this purpose, whereas they may speak evil of you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now here is the same type of statement as Jesus gave to us, is saying that we are the light of the world, and therefore let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Same statement, same intent that is given there. And this is the main intent that Peter is talking about. And then he begins to give illustrations or examples of how we are to live out our Christian relationship with the Lord in this world in which we are in. Verse 13, he says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to king as supreme or to governors," etc. There, we are to live with those that have authority over us in our government, etc., as being in submission to them. We certainly are to pray for them, as we have heard and preached before, but we're to live in submission to them as a Christian. And in verse 18, he says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear." Here is the servant-master relationship, which we have studied before and realized that in our culture today, it represents the employee-employer relationship. We're to be subject unto those that are our employers, etc., for the Lord's sake. And then as you come to chapter 3, it says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection." Here we've got the third subjection that is given there. "To your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," if they have not gotten saved by the word of God, "they also may without the word be won by the conversation." There's not the speech of, not the nagging of, but the lifestyle of their godly wife can be won by watching them and be drawn to follow the Lord in the decision of salvation. "While they behold your chaste, your pure conversation, your lifestyle, your behavior, coupled with fear." And so we have here these examples that are given of a good testimony of the citizen of heaven. And that's what he's talking about in this context. Now, verses 1 and 2 specifically applies to wives who should live in a godly fashion before their own husband, especially those that are not saved, in order to try to win them unto the Lord. But in the context here of what Peter gave in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 and following, it applies really to all of us as believers today that we're to live with a godly character in our life. And the description of that is what I want to zero in on this morning as we consider. our conversation, as it was mentioned there in chapter 2 and in chapter 3 here, verses 1 and 2, is to be verse 3 there, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and putting on apparel. In other words, Peter says there, don't let your emphasis, and he's speaking specifically to wives here, don't let your emphasis be just on the outside. Now, obviously, he's not talking about don't wear any gold or jewelry. Don't mess, you know, with fixing your hair. Don't bother with that. And don't bother about putting on clothes, right? That's what he includes in there, too. So we know, obviously, he's not saying don't bother with that. But he says, don't let that be the emphasis. But he says there in verse 4, let it be the hidden man. Let it be the inside man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Do you know the outside is going to corrupt? If you haven't noticed that, look in the mirror. anyway, our looks, the outside is going to corrupt. Our clothing is going to corrupt. All the jewelry is going to corrupt, etc. there. It's not going to last. But that the hidden man, the inside, that does last. That's something that will keep through the time. And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. And so we have here this emphasis that Peter is given there. He's stressing it's not the external stuff that's most important, but it's the internal stuff, what's in the heart. That's the most important. Now, because others see and affected by how we act, is that not saying that we need to emphasize the external stuff? Hold that thought for just a moment. First, I want you to understand that it is not just what we look like that defines us, even though man does look on the outward appearance, and God also can look at the heart, but man looks at the outward appearance. So the outward appearance is important, but we are not judged just by the outward appearance. Nor is it just what we say that defines us. Even though God makes it clear there in Matthew 12 that every idle word we're going to give account of, what we say is important. But it is what we do that defines us. Now, I'm going to explain it this way. What you are is more important than what you do. But what you are cannot be seen by me or you, or the people next to you, rather. What you are can be seen by what you do. And what you do comes from within, from the heart of man. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, as we've seen in Sunday school there, Jesus says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Over in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21 through 23, Jesus said, not everyone that saith, notice the words that I emphasize here, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will say, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus is saying here, like he did there in Matthew 12, that it is the one that does, not just the one that says. See, we could have a testimony right now, and I could ask everyone in here, how many of you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart? Let me see your hands. And I'd say the majority of us would raise our hands. How many of you would say the Lord Jesus Christ is your master, your Lord? I would say the majority of us would raise our hands. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why do you say that you love the Lord, but you don't keep His commandments?" You see, if you love me, keep my commandments. He that doesn't keep my commandments does not love me. Jesus makes it clear that the outward is tied to the heart, the inward. And so we can stand to and profess until we're blue in the face that we are a child of God, that we love the Lord, that He's our Master, etc. But if what we do doesn't show it, then what we say is not real. We have deceived ourselves. And so what we do is an indicator of where our heart is. And what our heart is affects what we do. And so the question then isn't how we act on the outside, the external stuff, isn't that important? Well, yes, it is, but only in the sense that it shows what's true on the heart. So let's talk about the heart. Because if we get the heart right, then the external stuff will follow. But if you see a person that says, you know, well, his heart's good, it's just his life's a mess, watch out. That's not what Jesus said. Let's get the heart right and let the outside come with it. And so we see here of what Jesus says there, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Everything that we say or do comes from our heart. And just like a Christmas ornament hanging on a tree there, our lives are dangling out here in the world for people to see. So my question then is, what type of an ornament? What type of an ornament are you for the Lord Jesus Christ? In the works that you do, in the things that you do that other people see, what do they think about Jesus Christ because of you? It's been said that sometimes our lives are the only Bible some people will ever read. It is the only thing that they can learn about Jesus Christ looking at you. And what kind of a testimony does Jesus Christ have based on how you live before them? Here are some ornament types. First of all, there's a tarnished ornament. Have you ever seen a Christmas ornament that looks so pretty and you go to pick it up and all of a sudden all the glitter and the paint and everything starts to fall off of it? It's not much good. It's not much to be used at that point there. Are you that way? Has somebody rubbed you the wrong way? Has bad air hit you so much in your life that you've become tarnished, that you've lost your luster? Did someone say something to you and just peeled off all your paint? There are some people that live like that. There are some people that have been affected. You say, you know, they said something to me back in whatever, you know, and that was wrong. And they've been carrying it all these years. And it's tarnished them as an ornament for Jesus Christ. You can't carry stuff like that without it affecting you. There's some people that have been hurt over things that other people have said. And I'm not in any way justifying what they said. There are some nasty people out here with their tongues in this world. And I'm sorry to say, even within our church sometimes. There are things that can be said. And sometimes I look at it and think, in what world did you think that sounded okay? Why did you think that would be all right to say? And I don't know whether they're not thinking or whether they're thinking, but they said, I just couldn't help it. I had to tell them what I was thinking. And that's the one that says, I had to give them a piece of my mind when they didn't have any to give. Hmm. Does your life show these signs of wear? Are you tarnished? There's also an ugly ornament. Let's just face it. There are some ugly ones out there. I'm not saying that you're ugly. I got in trouble that Wednesday night. But see, if you don't come on Wednesday, you miss so much fun that we have. But some people may be pretty on the outside, but ugly on the inside. They may have an ugly attitude. Do you have an ugly attitude? Maybe they have ugly words that come out of their mouth. I'm not talking about profanity. I'm just talking about being ugly, being mean, being rude. Ugly expressions. Have you ever met a person, every time you say something, you know, they got some kind of quirky thing, expression to make, you know, they're commenting silently on what you said that they disagree with or think it's crazy or whatever. They're just being ugly. My grandmother Blackwell, bless her heart, she died many years ago when I was a child. But I remember every time we'd go to visit, she would get me up on her lap there, and she'd get a book out, and she'd read to me. When she'd get through reading to me, she'd close the book, and she'd look at me, and she'd take her finger, and she'd say the same thing every time. She says, "Pretty is as pretty does." I remembered that. I hope you remember that, because it's true. Pretty is as pretty does. You can be beautiful on the outside, but if your actions, your attitude, your words are nasty, you're ugly, not just to God, but even to other people. Are you an ugly ornament? Do you do pretty or do you do ugly? Then there's broken ornaments. Are you a broken ornament, falling apart? You know, it's been said that you know that you're getting old when every conversation that you have turns into how bad you're feeling or what new ache you've discovered. Do you know that there are some people, when you're around them, the only thing that they ever talk about is how bad they've got it and what's going on so bad in their life? They're broken. And it's not just that bad things have happened, but a lot of times the things that they have that are happening to them, they brought upon themselves. Either because their priorities were wrong, or that they were trying to accomplish something themselves without really trusting the Lord through it, but they brought a lot of the stuff onto themselves, and when you get around them, that's all they talk about is the problems that they've got and what's happening next. Y'all enjoy being around those people, don't you? You feel for them. Now, I'm not talking about everybody that has a problem or shares something about a problem is that way, but these are people that are just broken people. They're just constantly talking about their problems. Don't try to hold your life together by your own strength, lest you get cracked and broken as an ornament. Then there's some, probably the most serious, I think, are those packed away ornaments. These ornaments are no longer useful, and therefore they're packed away in the attic or in the basement, in the garage, etc. Some of them are cracked. Some of them have lost a piece. Some of them, the luster, they're getting tarnished, etc. And so they are no longer useful. They're put away. The wisdom would say, don't put them away, throw them away. That's where the danger comes in. When we think about us, have we been put on the shelf? How long will God keep us on the shelf before he throws us away. I'm not talking about he doesn't want us, but just saying, you're done. Come on up, if that's all you're going to be for me. Have you got some dust on you? Can you feel the cobwebs crisscrossing in your spiritual life? Have you quit reading your Bible? Have you quit praying the way you should? Have you quit witnessing? You just kind of put yourself back, not really doing anything for God anymore. You're on the shelf spiritually, a packed away ornament. This is not only an unfulfilled place to be, but it's a dangerous place, as I mentioned a while ago. But then there's the perfect ornament. This is the type of ornament I believe that every one of us that genuinely know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, this is the ornament that we would want to be. This perfect ornament. One that builds up the body of Christ. One that reflects all that is lovely. One that beautifies and adorns, as it says in verse 4, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. A meek spirit, in that we have a patient and mild heart that God can work in. You know, have you ever heard somebody that it was said of them, you know, they have a teachable spirit? That's a good thing. Do you know that there are other people that don't have a teachable spirit? Maybe they're working for a boss, or they're maybe in a volunteer setting like we have at church, and a person that is kind of responsible for them or so forth comes up and tries to suggest how to do something a little differently that may work better. Oh, I know. Yeah. They won't hardly even listen. They go back and they just kind of keep on doing it the way they are. Is that the kind of spirit, meek spirit, that God wants to be able to work in? When God begins to, in a service such as this possibly, to identify something in our life that He wants to change, that He wants to work on, do we quickly make some excuse? Or do we have a meek spirit, a teachable spirit, one that God can work in, one that is pliable to the potter's hand? A meek spirit and a quiet spirit, in that we let God have control, let Him to be in charge of our heart, of our life. You know, of our heart, I keep saying, and there's so much of this that we talk about the inside that Scripture has to say about our heart, how the heart reflects what we truly are, the importance of what we keep in our heart, how we are to protect our heart with all effort. For verses such as we've read in Matthew 12, 34, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Mark 7, 21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, etc." You see, it's from our heart that affects what comes out our mouth. It's from our heart that affects the things that we do in our actions, according to Jesus. And Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." It is with our heart, with everything within us, that we are to love our God. Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily." Do it with all your heart, with all your might, as to the Lord, not to men. Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all your what?"
Heart.
With all your heart, with all your being, all that you can. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding. Proverbs 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, my mind, my being." What I put in my heart is
is important. Therefore, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That phrase, issues of life, means where I draw the line for what I will and will not do. Where the decisions I make my standards, where I'll stand and not move. Guard your heart, what you put in it. Guard your heart, what you're exposed to. And do it with all diligence, all effort. Because what you are in your heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It affects us. To be a perfect ornament, we need to be one that has a pliable heart. One that has a teachable spirit. That says, Lord, you show me what you want me to be. Let me be right so I can do right. Being right is number one most important. Because God knows if we be right, we'll do right. But see, others can't see my being. All they can see is my doing. And therefore, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're to do those things in our actions that affect others. So we're kind of like ornaments. Our life is dangling out here for people to see. But there's something unlike ornaments that I want you to understand. We're not like ornaments in that ornaments, when they become tarnished, when they become broken, they can't be changed. There's not an easy fix there. But thankfully, in our lives, there is a fix. God can change us. And we first must recognize what God wants to do and then be open to let Him do it. We can let God change our tarnished life where through things or through people that have rubbed us the wrong way has affected us. You know that we're told in Scripture to be patient, but patient is tied to two different things. There's a word for patience that means we're to be patient with people. And then there's another word, patience, that means we're to be patient with things. And the word patient means to bear under the pressure of the things that may be happening. Bear under the pressure of the people that may not be so precious to be around. We can let God change how we respond to those things that can tarnish us. We can respond in the right spirit. Is your ornament ugly? Ugly attitude? Ugly actions? God can remedy that if we'll let Him. Is it brokenness because of your own making? Things you try to do of your own power and your own making? Self-dependence instead of trusting God? There's a remedy for that. Quit looking to yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. Have you been packed away? If we'll turn to Him for forgiveness, He'll fix that brokenness, that tarnishedness. He'll stir the fire within us anew. It's the tendency of fire to die down. And it's the tendency of our fire for the Lord to die down. If it's left alone, we're going to grow cold, distant. We need God stirring. He'll revive us, and then He'll restore us. Not on the shelf anymore. Then we too can be that perfect ornament in God's sight, who looks not just on the outward, but looks on the heart. That's what we need changed. Every head bow, please. You've heard the message. Now I want to encourage you to consider this. You see, the choice is yours. You can choose how you adorn the person of Christ by how you act. And how you act is a reflection of what's in your heart. As a Christian, you're some kind of an ornament, whether it be good or bad, and you're dangling out there for other people to see. So my question, as I told you, what kind of an ornament are you this morning? And if you're not that perfect ornament, will you let God change you today? He wants to right now. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I know the Lord Jesus Christ genuinely. Maybe you've never made a choice at all, or maybe you look back and say, you know, I was baptized when I was a kid, but, you know, there's no evidence in my life right now that I'm a Christian. I don't read His Bible. I don't read His Word. I don't really pray other than if I get in trouble. I don't have any desire to worship God in His church. I'm come because I'm made to, or come because I feel like I should. But do you know for sure that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because salvation makes a difference. Don't let Satan deceive you. Be concerned enough to ask the question, Lord, do I know that You are my Savior? Make sure of it today. There is a remedy. That's why Jesus was born, of what we celebrate here. He was born to die, that He may pay the death penalty for your sins penalty. And He wants you to let Him be your Savior. Father, right now I pray that for whatever the need is this morning that You're speaking to our heart about, that we would be honest enough with ourselves and with You to respond correctly. Lord, make sure. I pray that there's no one here today that does not know You for sure, but if there is, I pray that You would give them the courage and the willingness, Lord, to step forward and make sure of it. Father, I pray for every Christian, including myself, that we would seek to be that perfect ornament. And where we are not, where we are lacking, that we would submit ourselves with a meek and quiet spirit, pliable for You to mold as You wish. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.